Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Joshua. I'm excited about the people that are in Scripture memory and are hiding the Word of God in their heart. And we have another session that will begin in just a few weeks. If you haven't been involved yet, then I want you to be involved in the next session that's going to begin in just two or three weeks. And tonight I want to continue on that theme of hiding the Word of God in our heart. In Joshua, one of my favorite books in all the Bible, in Joshua chapter 1, we read these words. Let's just begin in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now can you imagine now, after 40 years of wilderness wandering, standing at the very portal now of the promised land, God telling Joshua that he is to be the leader and to lead these people over that Jordan to take possession of the land he was giving them. Verse 3, he continues, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. I thought this day about what that must have meant to Joshua. When God promised him, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. I'll be with you. I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? That's the third time in these brief verses God is challenging Joshua to be strong. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want you to look at verse 8, and I want to talk about it a moment this evening before we pray. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it both day and night in order that you may do all that is written therein. And then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. We read about success often in the Word of God. We read about it over in Genesis 39 when it says the Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. We read about it in Nehemiah 2 when it says that God made Nehemiah successful in what he did in the rebuilding of the broken walls. And in the definition, in fact, we preached on that passage from Genesis 39 not long ago. In fact, it was the baccalaureate service on a Sunday evening. And we came up with a definition of success. I found it in an old book that George Truett had written over a half a century ago, where he said success was the ability to find the will of God for your life and to do it. And that's what true success is in life. That is finding the will of God for our lives and then doing it. God wants you to be successful in the highest, purest, most biblical sense. Moses, as we come to Joshua 1, has, as you know, ascended up on Mount Nebo and died. And before he died, he left something. Something of great value. In fact, something you hold tonight in your hand. We call it the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He left those books. And as Israel stood on the banks of Jordan, God's emphasis to their new leader was upon the Word of God. Was upon those books of Moses. What he called the book of the law. And success in life, we see in Joshua 1:8, involves three things in relationship to this particular verse. And if we'll just seek to hear tonight the Word of God, see the Word of God, and apply the Word of God, and do all that is written in Joshua 1:8, then we'll make our way successful, prosperous, and have good success, as he said. So success involves three things in this particular verse. First of all, there is a constant practice. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Day and night, the Word of God was not to depart from Joshua's mouth. He was to meditate on it day and night. Here was a constant practice. Here's the first man to receive his instructions from a book. Abraham obeyed the voice of God. Joseph had revealed truth to him and the will of God revealed to him through dreams. And on we go through these early books of the Bible to see this. And then we come to Joshua 1 and we come to a particular individual, Joshua, who now is instructed to hear from God and to receive his instructions from a book. Joshua, in a sense, was to function like Bible believers and Christians are to function today. And that is to let the book of God not depart out of our mouths, but meditate on it day and night that it might be a constant practice in our lives. Now, God tells him two things here in this constant practice. He tells him to keep the word in his mouth and to keep it in his mind. First of all, to keep the word in his mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Keep the word. The word was to direct his speech. It's what Solomon said the word is to do in Proverbs 18, verse 20. For the fruit of a man's mouth, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be filled with the product of his lips. The word was to direct his speech. How? By keeping it, not just in his mouth, but keeping it in his mind. Meditate, he said, on it day and night. And you know the reason sometimes the word is not in our mouths is because it's not in our minds. Meditate. In other words, go over and over and over to deepen the impression, to set the heart, just exactly what we're learning in the scripture memory courses that so many people are involved in right now before the service and after the service on Wednesday evenings. And if you're not involved in this session, in a couple of 3 weeks when you hear about a new session beginning, I hope you'll take advantage of that because that's exactly what we're learning to do there in scripture memory. And that is to meditate, to have a constant practice, to meditate on the Word of God day and night. To meditate, that word has with it the connotation of humming. Humming. The Word of God ought to be like a tune that we can't get out of our minds, that permeates and penetrates our being. So, if we're going to be successful in life, we have to have a constant practice, and that is the Word of God needs to be meditated on day and night. Secondly, we see here a completed purpose. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Here is a purpose. Here's a completed purpose. Why are we to keep the word in our mouth and in our minds? So that we might do all that is written therein. That we might live obedient lives that please the Lord Jesus Christ. To do, that is to act. To do it. What good is a constant practice of keeping the word in our minds, meditating on it day and night, if it doesn't begin to release itself through our lives? If we do not put it into practice and begin to do what the Word of God says to do. Obeying the Word is what gives us a knowledge of the Word. I believe there's a very real sense in which we don't get any more light until we obey the light that God has given us. Just to illustrate that. That is why baptism is so vitally important for a believer. Not because that water washes away a single sin. But when we read the book of Acts and we study the early church, as soon as someone came to faith in Christ, they were baptized. When we trust Christ as a personal Savior, God begins to give us light. And as we obey that light, we get other light. Some people wonder why they never grow. They never obey the light God gives them. If we're saved, God gives us life to be baptized. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, there's water. What hinders me to be baptized? He said, if you believe, you may. And he was. But you take someone who comes to know Christ and knows he ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, but doesn't do it, for example. He can't expect to continue to grow in grace and knowledge and have more light till we obey the light we have now in our own lives. If we have light to know that there's something in our lives to obey that we have not obeyed yet, we can't grow to a new level of light until we obey the level upon which God is giving us. So here is a completed purpose. Obeying the Word gives us a knowledge of the Word. It's sort of like we studied at the Cana wedding when those servants just simply obeyed and went and filled the water pots. And they knew something that the bride and groom and those at the head table didn't know because of their own obedience. And then look what he says in verse 8, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. We're talking about 100% obedience. That's what is at issue. Some of us think that our standard of righteousness is someone else. That can happen with the church. The church begins to judge its own standard and its own righteousness and its own merit by other churches. Happens to individuals when we begin to look at other people's lives and measure our own faithfulness according to other people's, when our righteous standard are the holy demands of this law and this book. And when we're measuring up to that, the very best of us, the prophet said, becomes like a filthy rag in his presence. So there's a constant practice. We're to meditate on the Word of God, hide it in our heart day and night for a completed purpose. Why? Why to keep it in our minds? So we may do it. So we put it into practice in our lives. I would say it again. I would rather you do one sermon than hear 1,000. I would rather you do one particular sermon that you hear that has some applicable truth to it and go out and put it into practice than to sit and listen to 1,000. That's the way we grow in grace and knowledge, through obedience. And there's a final word before we pray tonight, and that is that there is finally a conditional promise here. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. When? When you obey. How? By keeping the Word in your mind, in your mouth. It all goes back to the Word of God. The word prosperous can mean to reach the goal, to reach the goal. Success. Here is true success in life. That is to stay in the Word of God until we discover the will of God and put it into practice and walk in it. So we come down to this last word of the text, success. And as we leave this verse, we ask ourselves a question. Am I successful in the eyes of God? And then we must ask ourselves another question. Do I meditate on the Word day and night? Do I take a passage of Scripture? There's so many ways you can do that. I'll tell you what I do in my own life. I'll take a verse of Scripture, for example, and I don't have a shirt that has a pocket on it today, and it drives me crazy because this doesn't have a pocket. And so I've got a card right in here. But I'll take a verse, and if I'm memorizing a particular verse, I'll write it on that card, and maybe I'll look at that verse waiting on someone to pick up the phone or sitting in a stoplight or something. Maybe I'll look at that verse 50 times a day. And what I'll try to do every time I read it, I'll put an inflection on a different word in the verse. And so I'll read the verse and I'll inflect one word. And just to take John 3:16, for example. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And I'll meditate on that particular passage or that particular point of it. After I've let that go through my mind day and night and just sort of thought on it, maybe taking 15 seconds here or 20 seconds there during the course of the day. By the end of the day, that word is hidden in my heart and memorized. So if we ask ourselves, am I successful? Then we have to ask ourselves, am I hiding the Word in my heart? Do I meditate on it day and night? And one of the reasons the Word isn't in our mouths is because we don't have it in our minds. And then we ask ourselves another question. Am I obeying the Word of God? That's the big question, isn't it? Is there something in the Word of God I know I should be doing and yet I'm not doing it? Maybe in a relationship. Maybe in any other matter of life. Maybe in stewardship, whatever. to obey the Word of God. What brings success in life? Obedience is the key. Acting out the Word of God. Talking about it, keeping it in our mouth. Thinking about it, keeping it in our mind. Doing it. Simply obey it. I want to challenge you to memorize this verse if you haven't already. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it both day and night, in order that you may do all that is written therein. And then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Memorize it day and night, and then put it into practice. Let's bow our hearts together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over this room. Success, I mentioned at the beginning, is the ability to find the will of God for your life and to do it. God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance and all come to salvation. It may be that there's someone here this evening who's never really come to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And the Bible says, the book of God says, and I believe it, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'd like the privilege right now just to even lead you in a prayer right where you're sitting. Where you can just call on Him if you've never called upon Him. His Word says, Him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. He loves you. He wants you. And if that's the desire of your heart, just pray this prayer. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, like everyone else, I've sinned and gone my own way. Thank you for taking my punishment, dying for my sin. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my life right now. Come in today. Come in to stay. That's an expression of the fact that you believe He's not a liar. He'll do what He said He'd do. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life right now. While we remain in a spirit of prayer, what I'd like for us to do tonight in just a moment, I'd like you just to turn around, get with three or four people that are near you or around you. And let's just take just a moment before we leave, just to go around that circle and share a prayer request. Pray you one for another, the Bible says. And as we go around that circle and just share prayer requests, then I'm going to ask one person in that circle to volunteer just to voice a prayer for the group. And it may be that in some circles, no one really wants to do that nor feels comfortable to pray out loud like that. And that's fine too. Then you can just all pray, if no one volunteers, just all pray silently about those needs that you share together tonight. There's something so special, so precious from His Word, that enables us to reach out, and the God of this universe connects with us. That we can have the privilege of speaking with Him and the privilege of knowing Him in the intimacy of a father and a child. So in just these brief minutes that remain, just look around, maybe two or three or four people right around you. Just get in a little circle right there. Share a prayer request. One person volunteer to pray. And then in a moment, we'll be on our way. And when you finish, just remain in the spirit of prayer, please. Father, we love You tonight and praise You. Thank You for the privilege we have. In the midst of a week, to be still. To allow Your Word to remind us of the need of letting this book of God so be incarnated in us that it becomes a living part of us. And we speak the Word because it is day and night like a tune we can't get out of our minds. God, I pray for a spirit of obedience in the lives of our people. That we would be doers of the Word, as James says, and not mere hearers. Lord, we feel as Paul, who said, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death?" I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord that He's made a way out of no way for us. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Father, move upon our hearts to put Your Word into practice this week in our homes, in our offices, in the traffic patterns of life. May others see You in us. Thank You for the hope and help we find in Your Word, for the promises. Lord, what a comfort to Joshua to hear those words, "Be strong and of good courage. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you." And Lord, I want to thank You that even in my spirit right now, I know there's someone here tonight who needs to hear those words from You. "I'll not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage." Thank You for the Word of God. And may we remember that it is daily bread for Your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.